Good morning. I will continue with the topic of the doctrines, Christian doctrines. And after teaching about the fall of our first parents, I thought that I could start with the Christian, the spiritual growth of Christians. But as I was preparing, I felt that growing, spiritual growth means that you were leaving sins to become more and more holy as Christ, Jesus Christ, because it is our objective, even if we will not achieve that in our lifetime. But do we know what is the sin? That's why today I would like to focus on the sin. What is the sin? And I had this long title, Nature and Extent of the Sin, that prevents human being to have access to the glory of God unless one believes by faith in the God's gracious offer to accept the blood shed by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But I was struggling to find a short title for the bulletin, and our brother Larry helped to shorten it. And the text I found very interesting for this is Romans 3 from verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So the agenda, I don't know why my thing is not working. The agenda is, we will see what is a sin. Then we will give a short list of sins mentioned in the Bible and the meaning of them, the consequence of sin and appropriate remedies, and the conclusion. I think my thing is not working. What is a sin? Funk and Wagner's Standard Dictionary gives three meanings. A transgression, especially when deliberate, of a law having divine authority, or a particular instance of such transgression, or any offense against a standard. So, your standard. Webster Dictionary defines sin as a violation of an accepted moral, religious, or social code. These definitions relate the sin to what is socially accepted in some way. They suggest that sin's origin is rooted in the social environment rather than in the nature of the human being. A French author, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, echoed this view when he affirmed in his book that man is naturally good, but it is the society that corrupts him. So it is the society, and not the nature of the person, that makes him evil, that makes the human being evil. This view is very widespread in our society in general, and is not strictly in accordance with the Bible. According to Charles Ryrie, who has written many Christian books, any definition of sin that fails to ultimately emphasize its nature against the character of God is not conformed to the Bible. And we know that God is holy, and the holiness is the objective of our behavior. And when we do something that doesn't lead us to holiness, that is sin. Yet Gibson, in his book Survey in Basic Christianity, has identified the following common but wrong views of people on sin. For some, there is no sin at all. Right and wrong is only a matter of changing social practices. So sometimes these practices is considered as sin, but other people see it as good. That is wrong. Other people think that what harms someone else is sin. As long as you are doing something bad to another person, so that is sin. That is not quite right either. And all the people think that sin has to do with various bad habits. These are viewed by different groups in different ways. So something that is seen in Canada can't be seen as sin as in another country, for example. That is wrong as well. And all the people think that sin is wrong thinking or bad judgment, only the judgment of person. But our judgment are socially related. And what do people think that sin displeases God but is not serious? Why? Because everyone does it and we are only human. We can do bad things because we are human. That is wrong as well. But Ryrie says that sin is missing the mark, badness, rebellion, iniquity, going astray, wickedness, wandering, ungodliness, crime, lawlessness, transgression, ignorance, and falling away. It is a defection of any God's standard, that is good. Some verses list some sins and their origins. If we take Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 20, we read this. And he, they are speaking about Jesus Christ, said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of the man, proceed evil thought, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eyes, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." They come from within, not necessarily from the society. They can come from the society, the world, but they come from within. Galatians 5. Verse 19 says this: "Now the works of the flesh, human nature and passion, and not necessarily physical body, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like." So the list is not finished there. "And the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we read also this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and discerning, and trustworthy, and loving, and forgiving, and merciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You see, the list is more longer here. What is the meaning of the few specific sins, for example, that were mentioned? Sacrilege. Sacrilege is violation, for example, the temple, which was consecrated to God, and showing irreverence toward hallowed things. Hypocrisy, someone not practicing what he or she is teaching, seeking to exalt oneself by encouraging the adulation of the people, escaping performing works, neglecting to promote justice, outwardly appearing to be righteous, but inwardly being hypocrite. Covetous, excessively desiring something belonging to someone else, greedy. Blasphemy, profane speaking of God or of sacred persons or things. For example, ascribing the miracles of Christ to Satan. As well, speaking against the Holy Spirit. I have mentioned the verses of the Bible here, but we can't go through them. Transgressing the law. For example, avoiding having to care for aged parents, but can also consider acting against what the Lord had announced as the great commandment. For example, in Matthew 22, from verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." And we can find these quotation in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, the two commandments there. Pride, consistency of seeking place of honor, highest position instead of humility. Being a stumbling block, doing something that might cause others to sin. Disloyalty, putting comforts or proper duties before loyalty to Christ. immorality, dissoluteness, or sexual impurity or misconduct. This can be committed in the body, in the heart, or in the marriage. Fruitlessness, because believers have been chosen to bear fruits, not to do so is contrary to the God's purpose. Anger in itself is not sin, but it can easily lead to sin. Sins of speech, perjuring oneself by failing to keep a promise made and an oath, as well we are accountable for all our useless words. Showing off, exhibiting proudly or ostentatiously, showing one's supposed piety or doing good things like alms giving, prayer, and fasting, but doing them with a view to attracting praises from men rather than approval from God. And lack of faith, having anxiety concerning one's needs, is an indication of a lack of faith in God's provision. Irresponsible stewardship, different talents or gifts are given to different members of the congregation or the church, body of Christ in general. Those who do not use their abilities and opportunities for the God's work are responsible stewards, irresponsible stewards, I mean. Prayerlessness, a believer ought to pray at all times and never lose heart and faith. Missing to do that is wrong. The list of sins above is not exhaustive, as the lack of loving God with all the heart, mind, and soul, as well as the lack of loving one's neighbor as oneself, can take different forms in different places at different periods of history. So the list can be very long. However, they can be grouped into four categories. The first category is the violation of the Moses law. It has been said that the Ten Commandments are spiritual. They are not bad, but it was the practice of them that led Jews to follow their tradition than the commandment itself. The second is the open sins with higher magnitudes than others. Indeed, some sins are more sinful than others, as the Lord made a difference between the Caiaphas' and the Pilate's sin when answering Pilate in John 19. "You could have no power all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." The one who delivered the Lord Jesus Christ to Pilate was Caiaphas. So he had more great sin than Pilate. So there are some levels of magnitude in sins. However, any sin, whatever its magnitude, breaks the relationship with God and needs repentance. Another category is sins related to a wrong inward attitude and character. Outward actions bespeak inner attitude and character, and the Lord Jesus Christ has often put his finger on the inward roots of sin. In Luke 12, we have this situation. "Then one from the crowd said to him," to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But the Lord said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. 11. Everywhere in the Bible, except in Matthew 5:20, 11 typifies the presence of impurity or evil thought. For example, the leaven of the Pharisees was their externalism, as I said, ostentation. Though all outward they were righteous, they were knowledgeable of Scripture, Titus, those who fasted and prayed, but inward they were unclean, and our Lord denounced their hypocrisy many times. The Sadducees, leaven, consisted in spreading false doctrines. Their beliefs were rooted in the senses, what capture our eyes or our ears. They did not believe in the existence of angels or in resurrection. The Herodians, leaven, was secularism and orderliness. They supported Herod and the Roman rule, which gave him his power. They then used worldly power to promote spiritual ends. What are the consequences of sin and the appropriate remedies? Because if you take these categories we have covered here, you will find that nowadays we have many, many examples of the same behavior, like behavior by Jewish people, by Sadducees, and by Herodians. What is the consequence of the sin, and what are the appropriate remedies? The existence of sin brings very serious consequences. One consequence is the breaking of the relationship with God, spiritual death and physical death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, from verse 1 we read this: "And you he made alive," he made alive, the Lord Jesus Christ made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of the disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So relationship with God is broken when you keep being sinners with your sins without the remedy that you will see. Condemnation, another consequence is the condemnation and God's judgment. Matthew 25, verse 46 says this: "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And John 3, verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." One of the consequences is moral and physical suffering. In Romans 8, from verse 20, we read this: "For the creation here meaning the human being, was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation all things created by God, groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body is when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to take his children in heaven. That is the redemption of our bodies. So it is more physical suffering. As long as we are in our physical bodies, we will be suffering. Fourth consequence, the darkening of the mind and the moral hardening. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But what is the remedy for sin? God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Jesus came to earth to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross, to die there so that the sins of all who believe in him might be forgiven. We sang that two or three times this morning. And to justify them through his death and the resurrection. In Matthew 26, we read this from verse 27. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the Lord Jesus Christ only, his death on the cross, his blood shed on the cross, is the only means to remove our sins. But you have to believe in that. It is only by appropriating Christ's work through faith that a person is justified by God's grace and can enter the kingdom of light. In Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, only Jesus Christ. And the third remedy, through Christ's work, man standing before God is settled both with regard to sins and sins. Sin, singular sin, the word sin singular, and the word sins in plural. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What can we conclude about the nature, extent of sin and the remedies? Becoming Christian does not exempt us from sinning. If you see what the sin is, it is the doing something that that doesn't respond to the holiness of God. So no one. We try by spiritual growth to go more and more close to holiness. But even Paul, who was writing these things, said that he has not arrived there yet. So becoming Christian does not exempt us from sinning, but it helps us first to have more power using the whole Christian armor, that is faith, salvation, gospel, truth, righteousness, prayer, and spirit, and the help of the Holy Spirit to overcome the sources of sin, which are the world around us, the passions of our passion, lust of our passions, and lusts of the flesh, and the devil, Satan, who is always there. Second, to know the way to reestablish our relationship with God through and genuine repentance after sinning. To do these things that facilitate our spiritual growth toward an increasing resemblance to the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand the nature and the extent of the sin to avoid a self-satisfaction of our human behavior, because people think that they are correct always. We should always remember the question and response in Romans 6. What shall we say then? After speaking about the salvation by grace, then Paul raised this question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to in sin that grace may abound? And the response is, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So we are no longer slaves of sin when you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. No longer slaves of sin. You will recognize the sin quickly and repent. Someone who hasn't done that doesn't have that chance. It is what I want to share with you this morning. Thank you.